Welcome to Hammer Dad.
Dad.
Number one sports gambling podcast coming out of the Pat McAfee Incorporated offices. I am Tone Diggs. I had COVID. I'm back.
Good for you, Tony.
I'm fucking slaughtering it. I'm not just beating COVID. But...
Mike, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, there you are.
Okay, Mike.
Because I just saw you talk. And then
good for you.
You got a sweatsuit on today, Mike. You look good.
No, I mean, just a hoodie. You know, it's cold here in Jersey today. I don't know about there in Indy. It's freezing here today.
Cold as shit. Not like our bets, though. Hey, how about Tone with a perfect weekend, huh?
I think it might be back-to-back weeks, if we're being honest.
Hey, you're hot right now. COVID brought you some winners, dude.
Yeah, I mean, you were dreaming. You got it going.
It was like this light came, and it just showed me the winners.
Fucking keep it going. It's the perfect time, bub. It's the perfect time.
This is really the perfect time.
Sitting next to me is Pat McAfee. How are you, sir?
Hey, not too shabby.
I believe you were hot this weekend, too, right?
I had a winning weekend. I did. The Steelers-Browns under, I thought, was a lock. I actually felt really good about it. It did not hit. Actually ruined a couple parlays that I had. I went 5 of 6 on two different parlays because I had the Cleveland Browns and the Steelers under in both of them. Would have won a few thousand there. Also lost for my wife, but I feel good. Diggs, nothing's hot like you right now, though. And I think this is, since we are a gambling show, we have to point out some things. For instance, when somebody's hot, you ride that some bitch.
Yeah.
Like right now, let's not be scared to lean on our friend Diggs here with how incredibly hot he is. You know what I mean, Mike?
Absolutely. Carry us. You got to.
Including
you got to feel. You got the magic lotion. You better put the lotion in the basket. Ew. You got it, man.
You gotta... Lube up, Tone.
Including bull season. I think I was 22-4, 22-5 or something.
Is
like that
good?
Is that good, Mike? Is that good? Bubba Campino. The Nuke Man himself is joining us.
Good day, sir.
Beard looks incredible.
Thank you, sir.
And joining us on FaceTime, looking like Uncle June, former NFL GM, host of the Lombardi Line, the GM Shuffle Pod, writes for The Athletic, and make sure you subscribe to The Daily Coach, Michael Lombardi.
Thank you. Great. What did you watch during the COVID? What were you watch? Did you binge anything?
I watched Manhunt on Netflix with Atlanta.
Richard Jewell
yeah. One.
Hey, how about the ATF just getting bullied out of there
and
by the FBI?
And he fucking knew.
Oh, yeah, he knew.
And then I also watched the Unabomber one.
Okay.
I watched three war movies. I watched Midway. I watched Greyhound.
How about Queen's Gambit?
I did not get the Queens because my wife wants to watch that with me, and we were separated.
Okay. Mm,
you're in the COVID cave.
Was in the COVID cave. I watched a lot of good stuff.
It's
watched
a winner's cave.
Great Daily Coach this morning, Mike. I like that one.
Thank you. I told you I was going to write that one. Yeah. I love Mike Tyson has some of the great lines. You know, everybody's got a plan until they punch you in the mouth, until you get punched in the mouth, you know. And then this one, I love that quote today. It is so true how people hide behind it. And how about today? You know, Diggs, I fell for this a couple.
Hold on. What was the quote?
With this Schefter thing. You know,
No. What was the quote that Tyson said?
Schefter and they tweet stuff.
Oh, he said people hiding behind their Twitter because you can't smack them in the mouth.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that. I didn't read the Daily Coach this morning. I saved it for after the day. I didn't know what you were referring to.
And then Mike was the first person to text me about Schefter not being correct.
It's got to happen sooner or later, though, doesn't it, Mike?
Well, when I first read it, I saw that it was Schefter, and then it had Adam Schefter in the name, and then it says Tua, love Tua. So I went to it, and then the site, it's not there anymore. And then I went to Schefter's main page on his Twitter. He had nothing of it. But some poor copy editor in ESPN, you know, the poor kid, he's probably sitting there just ranging stories on the website to get him up there. And he went and put it up there, so it made it really look like it was true.
That's a darn Schefter. It'll get you every single time on the Twitter. And Twitter can spread things so fast. The person at ESPN, he's obviously, you know, shitting her pants a little bit. I have a question for you about some other jobs that are potentially opening if the OC job at Miami isn't opening up. Urban Meyer, if you're a general manager, and granted, they don't have any down there at Jacksonville, which he's allegedly going for $12 million a year. And I don't think, does coaching salary matter? You can address that in the answer if coaching salary matters for anything other than just what the coach is happy with. But if you're a general manager and you're are you bringing in Urban Meyer to coach your team? You think his college success will translate to NFL success?
I think it's going to be a challenge. There's parts of Urban Meyer I like. The biggest concern I'd have is every time he's gotten into one of these jobs, he can't last very long. you know, and if there's a lot of pressure in Columbus or if there's a lot of pressure in Gainesville that causes your health concerns to make you want to leave, then maybe this isn't the right gig to get into.
Really? So that's interesting.
That would bother me. That would concern me. And you know, because he's left two jobs over health concerns, and I don't know what they are. And then I think, too, you know, the rumor is he's going to hire Scott Pioli to be his general manager. Whether that, you know, that would help him because it would give him somebody who knows the league, who understands how the dynamics of a front office works, because none of these college coaches truly have any understanding of that.
What don't they understand?
How to procure talent, how to build talent, right? So how to build a team. When you're in college, you could just take 30 guys, right? You take as many as you want, walk-ons. So, you know, when you're in the draft, you have to allocate resources to certain positions to then build your team. You just can't be the fat guy at the buffet line and just take everything, right? You got to be really careful at where you spend your money, how you spend your money. Look at the Raiders. I mean, I don't want to pick on Gruden, but Gruden really isn't a general manager because when you see what he shops for, he tells you he's not a GM.
So Mayock, what are you saying
really
about?
Doesn't work.
So what are you saying about Mayock?
Well, Mayock works for Gruden. So Mayock, Gruden run. They didn't pay him $100 million for 10 years to have Mike Mayock walk in and say, "Hey, John, I think we need to build the team this way." They didn't do that. And to answer your coaching salary, I think coaches are underpaid. I think they're underpaid. If the salary cap is $200 million, then a head coach should be at least worth 10% of the salary cap. He should. You know, maybe 5% at $10 million, right? You get a great coach, you can't – like great players, you can't overpay great players. So if you get a great coach like Matt Rhule making $8 million, and he's a really good coach, he's going to bring that back in twofold. So it's a big company. It's a big corporate. It's a big corporation. I mean, Brian Flores, 2 years in Miami, he's worth every single nickel. If I was the GM of Miami, I'd rip that bad boy up and I'd give him a new one.
Mike, what do you think about Pioli? He's been the assistant GM with Atlanta from 2014 to 2019. He was with the Chiefs before that. I mean, Atlanta's had talent on the roster.
He's with
a lot
the Patriots too, right, wasn't he?
Yeah, he started with us. I mean, he worked for me in Cleveland. I hired him. I mean, he knew Bill from his time, he was at Western Connecticut or one of those directional Connecticut schools. And then we hired him to work in the personnel department. So he understands that. And so what he'll give Urban is a way to have a grading system and a player procurement method that fits to the NFL, which is these college coaches don't. Like Matt Campbell would have a hard time with that. But Matt Campbell, if he went to, say, with Joe Douglas, maybe that marriage would work really well. Pioli would give Urban that infrastructure that he doesn't have.
How do you feel about any of the other positions that are open right now? Chargers, Anthony Lynn's gone. You have Justin Herbert. Then you also have a great defensive line. I think you have some cap space. You got Tom Telesco is the general manager. He's staying there. So whenever you get when you hire a coach as GM, that coach is working for you. Like, is that flip the power if the GM? Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I think in San Diego, in Los Angeles' case, and all these are different, Pat. So the owner, Spanos, runs that team. I think he'll give the coach, I think Telesco and the coach will work for Spanos. So that'll be a fairly easy something to navigate. Like, I don't think you're walking in there working for Telesco. And Telesco's the kind of guy that he's going to want to make sure the coach is on board with his decisions, so it's not going to stray away.
What do you think about?
A really good job because of the quarterback. I think they lack offensive linemen badly, which you've got to repair that, and they've got to fix their team. I mean, their defense is for all the talk about how great they are. They're not very good on defense.
What do you think about? So, and Pat brought this up on his show earlier, and I didn't know this, that Telesco and Brian Daboll went to high school together.
Yeah,
they're both from Buffalo. Brian and I are close, and Brian loves Buffalo. He grew up in Buffalo. And I'm sure that'll have – I mean, Brian's going to have options. What he's done with Josh Allen, I never thought could happen. I've never seen an inaccurate quarterback as badly inaccurate as Josh Allen has become accurate.
Does it worry you – because doesn't he call the games from the booth? Does that worry about you?
Moved him upstairs. No, look, for me, if you and I went to go watch a football game and you put me on the sideline, after this practice, I would not be able to tell you really everything I saw. Whereas if I was in the booth, I could tell you. My eyes trained to see it from the field, from the booth. Daboll's had training in both. See, if you want to be a head coach, you have to have training in both. Al Davis used to always stand in a certain area of the practice field because he trained his eyes to see the game from that viewpoint.
That's so interesting, man. Who do you think gets that L.A. job other than Daboll?
Coach, I think Daboll, I think of Josh McDaniels. He's a John Carroll guy too. They're all John Carroll guys. I think it'll be somebody offensively. Could be Bieniemy. I don't know. It could be Arthur Smith. I mean, Arthur Smith has done a great job at Tennessee. I don't know Arthur Smith personally, but I watch his tape. I think Tennessee's done a really good job with a bad offensive line. I know they've got a great running back, but you know, one thing they've always been able to do is, you know, he's running it and he still gains 2,000 yards.
714 yards in the last four games for Derrick Henry.
It's unbelievable. I mean, it's really remarkable. So I think that sells Arthur. For me, I'm prone to defensive coaches. Like, I think Don Martindale at Baltimore, who just, you know, I mean, Baltimore gave up 3 points to Cincinnati. They were on a roll, right? I mean, Martindale reminds me a lot of a young Bill Parcells. When Parcells first was at the Giants, he was the linebacker coach. Then he became the defense coordinator for 1 year. Then he became the head coach when Ray Perkins left to go to Alabama. And he blossomed into this person who's in the Hall of Fame named Bill Parcells. Same thing with John Madden. I think there's a lot of similarities between that because Martindale sees the game at a high level.
Hey, how do you feel about like coach rehab going through New England, basically? So in college, if you get fired, you go to Saban for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. Lane Kiffin said it's called coach rehab. Then you get a head coach somewhere. It's alleged that Adam Gase is potentially going to New England. Then you hear about Bill O'Brien potentially going to Nick Saban. I mean, is that something that's real in the coaching ranks?
I think if you're Adam Gase, you got to make a decision. Do I want to be a college head coach? Or do I want to go somewhere and stay for 5 or 6 years and not move my family and not get on this treadmill called the NFL? That's the appealing thing with going to Alabama, right? You can make good money. You can know you're going to win, go to coach top players, go to be in a bowl game every year. And as long as Nick wants to do it, you're going to be successful. If you're Bill O'Brien and you want to go back into the college game you left from Penn State, then it's an attractive job. So I think a lot of it depends. I don't see Gase going to New England as much as – because unless McDaniels leaves – Gase was the intern – Gase was a graduate assistant at Michigan State. Nick gave him his first job. When Nick left to go to LSU, he told everybody to get on the plane that wanted to come to go with him to LSU. Daboll and Gase – Gase and Daboll were there at Michigan State together. Daboll's the reason Josh McDaniels ended up in New England, because he basically hired him to replace himself as he was moving up the ladder. So they're all kind of interconnected.
Jesus.
The coaching world is a wild one. Yeah, it's all connected. Everything's connected somehow.
Both guys are. Gase particularly is. You know, now, Gase has never really been in the pure New England system. Daboll's been in Alabama. He's been at Michigan State when it started. He's been at New England when it started. And he's been in New England again after it was installed. That he's gone to other places. I mean, he went with Mangini to New York. He went with Mangini to Cleveland. He was in Miami for a year as a coordinator. This is the most success he's ever had as a coordinator because this is the most talented quarterback he's ever coached.
Who do you think are some good coordinators that are out there that could be an offensive coordinator, Mike, like not head coaches?
Now that's one I don't know a lot of those type of guys. I think Kevin O'Connell, the Rams, I think he is the coordinator even though he doesn't. I think he's a bright young coach that has a bright future. I really do.
Hey,
say Staley at Philadelphia is a really good coach, yet he never gets promoted as the offensive coordinator. He's the run game coordinator. But it's a different game to draw plays than to call plays. That's why you have to watch the Queen's Gambit because it's different. Calling plays is like playing chess.
Hey, does Bieniemy call plays in Kansas City?
I don't think so. I don't know that for a fact, but I think Andy Reid calls everything. I think Andy Reid runs everything, and I think Andy Reid's – this is not a knock on Bieniemy. I think Andy Reid goes to the bench and talks to the quarterback. There's a reason he does that.
Mm-hmm. Hey, what do you think of breaking news right before the show started that Elway – is going to
step up.
And now there is a GM opening for the Denver Broncos.
So he didn't get fired, by the way.
That'd be a hard-ass job, because would you like to work for John? I mean, seriously, is that you really want to do that? I mean, look, here's the reality of the Denver Broncos. Since 2018, the Denver Broncos, they rank 23rd in the NFL in wins. They're 18-30 over those 3 years.
Hey, most you're incredible, by the way. I see you pulling up a stat sheet on another computer so you don't – I mean, you're incredible at this shit. You know that. You're incredible.
I mean, I'll send it to you. I worked on it. I put it on my game sheet. I went through all the teams this morning and went and ranked them over wins over the last 3 years, because I think it's important to look at where you are over 3 years. Like, if I said to you, let's play a game, who's had more wins in 3 years, the Cleveland Browns or the Philadelphia Eagles, what would your answer be?
Well, I feel like you're fucking with me, so it's going to be the Philadelphia Eagles.
Cleveland. Yeah. Cleveland's 24-21, and Philly's 23-27-1. Now, Philly's got some playoff losses in there, but Philly's only won 23 games the last 3 years.
And there's a – no, not an 0-16 because the Browns last 2 years.
For the official record, I just want you to know that.
but I thought it was like one of those setup questions, because I would have thought that Cleveland did, by the way, over Philly, but I don't – the Philly thing – hey, how do you feel about the whole situation? The world was upside down last night. Now Carson Wentz's relationship is fractured beyond repair. He's thinking about asking for a trade. Allegedly, that got taken back. Doug Peterson puts in Sudfeld in the fourth quarter of the last game on primetime. The world flips upside down. What are your thoughts on that as somebody that lives in the area?
How pissed off was Al Michaels? Al Michaels is saying, you made me fucking fly 3,000 miles. Like, I could have been he has this restaurant in Brentwood. If you're ever in L.A., I'm telling anybody listening to this pod, and if it's open, there's a restaurant called Toscano's. It's right in Brentwood. It's as soon as you turn the corner in Brentwood. It's magnificent. He's in there four nights a week. He's probably thinking, I gave up Sunday dinner at Toscano's for this shit. Are you kidding me? But I knew it was going to happen, because when they activated Sudfeld, I told you they were going to tank the game. That's why the line went from 3.5 to 4. It went all the way up to 6.5.
Yep.
And they did. And they absolutely did. He did not.
Great cover by Washington. Great cover.
How about Ron Rivera saying thanks to Doug Peterson after the game? I guess Giants fans did not love that.
Yeah. Wouldn't you have thanked him?
Yeah.
Hey.
I don't think they could. I mean, I think if they would have, like, I mean, who goes for it on 4th and 5 from the 5 with 2 minutes to go in the third quarter? Like, who does that?
If you're the Bucks, that was worst case scenario. You would have much rather seen the Giants, correct?
I think so, because not that I both offenses are bad, right? But the one thing I think that could really affect you is the Washington pass rush could bother Brady. I mean, it could give Brady some trouble. I think that's a dangerous game for Brady, because we know this over his career. What has bothered Brady more than any? 4 defensive linemen who can rush the passer.
Teams that are 500 or worse since 2003 in the playoffs are 7-2 against the spread.
Boom. Really?
They're -7.5. The Bucks are right now. So Washington is worth a look.
It's up to 8.5 at some places. Yeah,
definitely worth a look.
I'm going to take it right now.
At FanDuel, it's up to 8.5.
It'll get to 10, I bet.
I'll wait for it to get. I'm not taking any lower than 8.5.
98% of the money.
I have it as a 5.81 game.
98% of the money is on the Bucks right now. So it's only going to go up.
All right. Put that down as one of my official picks for the week. Wait, Diggs, you like it?
Football team?
Yeah.
I don't know yet. I haven't looked close.
Oh, okay.
The one I would hop on right now, because I don't think Goff's playing.
He's not playing.
The Seahawks -4.5.
Whoa, what do you mean? Wolford's great. Oh.
What's that?
That's got to go up.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Lock in -4.5 on the Seahawks right now. That's going to go to 7.5.
The money right there on that is 52% on the Seahawks.
Your beard looks unbelievable.
It does. It's really nice today. Did you use your straightener?
Yeah, yeah. Fresh cut.
It looks
thinking good. About some other things, too.
Oh, what's that?
Yeah, we'll see.
Really?
You want to get advice from Mike?
No.
All right. Hey.
He should just promo right into the Manscaped.
Mike, what do you think, speaking of Gumpy, should they take a quarterback at 3, the Dolphins?
I mean, Gump, I don't want to answer a question with a question. I think you know my answer. I would.
Yep.
But, I mean, I know he had some drops. I know it wasn't all on him.
So I was in the lab last night, Mike. I watched some about 2 hours of footage. He is not driving with his legs. That's why all those balls are high.
Yeah, that's true.
And I don't know if it's going to take time for that hip. It could take another year. I don't know. But if you're going to do it, I said this on Pat's show, you have to bring in a young OC to be with him on the field, give him some weapons, and go all in on him this year and see what you got. Because you're not going to get a number third pick again with this team for a bit, it feels like.
No, that's why you have to answer the question, will he be our starting quarterback in the year 2024 competing for a Super Bowl?
I love Justin Fields. I do. Everyone was down on him before that game against Clemson. I like that guy. He's a leader, man. It feels like he's the one. But will he be there at three? The Jets could take him.
You felt this way about Tua, too, though, right?
I thought Tua was a good quarterback.
How can you tell whether or not a quarterback's going to make the transition, Mike?
I think you got to, you know, first of all, I think you got to break. He has to have some elite skills. And I'm going to look up this, but I want to go over this because I wrote this for somebody in the league the other day. We were talking about quarterbacks and we were talking about first round picks and over the quarterbacks over time. So if you look at the biggest mistakes in the first round since 2006, okay, like why have quarterbacks failed? Most of the time, the quarterback has failed, people would say, because of character, right? Because of bad character. And my report was simply this. Most of these guys have failed because we overemphasized work habits and character. E.J. Manuel, you couldn't get a better kid than E.J. Manuel, right? Great kid. Blaine Gabbert, great kid. Tim Tebow, you know, Christian Ponder, tremendous. Marcus Mariota, great. Jake Locker, great. None of them play. Now, you've got some kids that had some off-the-field issues, Josh Freeman, Manziel, Haskins, RG3, whatever they were, all different. I'm not accusing them of anything bad off the field, but they had some issues. That's four. I gave you six of the other way. So what I'm saying is there's bias in every direction when it comes to evaluating quarterbacks, and we can't allow bias to enter into our thinking because he works hard, because we can't allow affirmation to replace information.
Oh, wow. So what's that? What are you saying?
I'm saying is Deshaun Watson may not be perfect, right? Deshaun Watson may not have the greatest accuracy coming out, right? But he had everything else you wanted.
He's a guy. That's what he is.
Everything. So don't tell me he should have been the 12th pick in the draft. Like that's that. Now all of a sudden we're nitpicking. And I think you got to really, if a guy's a hard worker, like Tua's a really hard worker. The Alabama coaches love him. His character is pristine. He's great, but he doesn't have elite arm strength. He doesn't have elite quickness. He doesn't have elite speed. And he has a durability issue that does affect his long-term play.
How hard is it to scout a quarterback like Tua when he will now have, after this upcoming draft, four wide receivers who went in the first round as his targets?
Well, I think you see it. He throws to wide open guys. So does Mac Jones. I mean, you got to sit there and really study. And when they make throws into tight windows, I'm sure Tua's just not used to the NFL guys being so covered.
And is it? It's just the world we live in now that you just not people don't want to give somebody time to become somebody. You know what I mean?
I mean, look. If you would have said to Michael Lombardi in January of 2020 that Jalen Hurts was going to look better in his first season than Tua did, I would have said you're crazy.
You're also looking at a quarterback who's coming off a major surgery, no off season, no training camp, an offensive line with three rookies.
I have a question about Jalen Hurts here. Is he the guy going forward?
That I don't know. Did he feel like the guy in that game to you?
I don't know, but it's been interesting. If he was the guy going forward, that's a moment you'd want him to...
Right, I want him to win that game.
Yeah, why do you look at Sudfield if you know that Jalen Hurts is the guy going
forward? Yeah, well, what in a primetime game...
The office told you we'd rather have the sixth pick, because why do you go for it on every fourth down? Why do you... Are you 27th in the league in the most fourth down attempts in the NFL over 3 years, and you only convert him at 40% below the minimum, yet you keep doing it because the analytics tells you to do it? So the analytics told them, Thursday before the game, we'd rather have the sixth pick than the ninth pick. So that's what they did.
Well, and then we always talk about guys needing weapons, needing this, needing that. Like, Deshaun Watson has gone out all year with nothing and balled out pretty much every game.
See, that's my contention, is great players make other players great.
Oh, yeah.
If Tanya was on another team, do you think he would be as great as he's played for the Packers this year?
Hey, he trained with Kittle this offseason. He's a good dude.
I'm not disputing him. I think it's great. I think he's tremendous. But Aaron makes him a lot better.
Hey, situations can account for so much for people. It is. That's why whenever you go to a team that stinks, you got to really – like Burrow to Cincy. Like they said, Zach – Taylor, they're bullish on the foundation that Zach Taylor is building over there. And then obviously Joey Burrow came out with a tweet supporting Zach Taylor or whatever that was announced today. And then the boys in the show today alluded to the fact that the only reason why they won't fire him is because they don't have to pay two coaches. He's still on like that Cincinnati thing. It's just like that.
Let me give you them. All right. So Cincinnati's 31st in the National Football League in wins over 3 years. They're 12-35-1. Six of those wins came when Marvin's last year. Six of them came in Marvin's last year. The other six have come in Zach's 2 years.
But is that not a problem? Everybody was coming after Doug Peterson for disrespecting the game, right? Doug Peterson's disrespecting the game because of what he did last night. See it however you want. I don't care. I love the Giants fans having a full fit about it. Like, I love that. I love that you love your team so much. Even though they've only won six games this season, they deserve to get in there, and Doug Peterson is completely fucking it over. But what Cincinnati has done over there, they only care about cash. Like, that's the only thing they care about in that organization, is they only care about the bottom line. Is that not something that the NFL should address?
Well, I think this. Here's some background on the story. So Mike Brown, the owner of the Bengals, grew up in Cleveland, Ohio. His dad, Paul Brown, was the team. When Art Modell fired his father, his family, the Brown family, kind of disappeared. It was a divorce of the team and a divorce of the family. And it impacted Mike Brown's life forever. And Mike has always had a soft spot for coaches and doesn't like to fire coaches because of the impact that it had on him as a young man. Huh. Now, it doesn't say he's not cheap. I'm not saying that. I don't think Mike is cheap. I think he's frugal. I think he doesn't want to spend something that he doesn't think is necessary. You know, we don't need an indoor facility because it's just as easy to get buses. You know, when we know that's really not the right way to think of it, but that's how he does. It's not cheap, but it's, I got an answer. If there was no answer, we'd have to do it. You know, look, I mean, you can't defend their one loss record 3 years. You can't tell me that Zach Taylor is really ready to be an NFL head coach, even after 2 years.
No. I agree. All right, hey, let's roll through the games this weekend real quick.
Lombardi, if I ever become a head coach, you'd be my GM?
I'd love to, Pat. I would do it for free, too.
Could you imagine the team we'd put together?
I tell you one thing. We would do good. Because it wouldn't be hard beating some of these other guys. They overthink it way too damn much.
Darius Butler wants to coach. A.Q. Shipley's already in coaching. Mm-hmm. We could probably get some people. I feel like we could put together quite a staff.
Yeah, we should sell it to the Mr. Khan, see if he'll take us all down to Jacksonville. Hey, we'll all work for what half of what Urban wants.
Could you imagine me, the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars, and we were actually good, by the way. We had that pool paradise. We played in London.
We'd be good in the kicking game. That would be one third of it. And we would make good game decisions, game management decisions, which would be a huge, huge upgrade.
That's how you win games.
You're damn right.
Oh, the press conferences, the amount of money we're going to have flowing into that company. That would be awesome. Let alone the con zone. I mean.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The amount of.
Get your fingers and everything.
We should pitch that. Who do we pitch that to?
Shot. You know him? You know him, Mike? He hired your guy, David Blaine.
David Blaine. I mean, look, if Como can do that for 7 years, that's a magic trick second to nobody. Trust me.
Oh, my God.
All right, Mike, one last question. Of all the GM jobs opening, Broncos, Panthers, Lions, Texans, Falcons, Jags, Washington football team is going to hire one as well. Which one would you want to go after the most?
I would think the Houston job's the best job because they've got the best quarterback.
Even with no draft picks?
Even with no draft picks.
Okay.
Because I got a quarterback. If I could fix the two lines with this quarterback, I'd get better in a hurry.
A lot of people are saying it's Jags, but that's just because they have the number one pick and the most draft picks and the most money.
Mike, are you sold on Trevor Lawrence?
Oh, here we go.
Yeah, I am.
All right.
Dumpy's everybody out. Else keeps saying it, because when Peyton and Ryan came out, you know, if you go back and read some of those clips, it wasn't like it is today. Well, you know, everybody knew Manning was the best player. Yeah. No.
What if Justin Fields had the game Trevor Lawrence had? Where do you think Justin Fields would be at today in draft stock?
Well, he kind of did, right?
Big time. I mean, I need to watch more of Fields. Like, I think sometimes a lot of the throws and the system allows him to be successful. Not that he's not talented, but I like to see when the play breaks down what he does. That system is very quarterback friendly.
Every quarterback guru person in college, like the Elite 11 people and all them, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
Last year, they told me that Justin Fields is the guy.
Wow.
They're like, he's the guy or whatever. I mean, this could be a trend here of young quarterbacks being good.
Look, you know, if you look at the first, like, right, Jacksonville, the Jets, Miami, third, Atlanta, four, Cincy, five, Philly, six, Detroit, seven, Carolina, eight, Denver, nine, Dallas, 10, right? That's the top 10 picks in the draft. Jacksonville, the Jets, Miami, Atlanta, maybe Philly, Detroit, Carolina, and Denver.
Quarterback.
You know, there's seven teams that need quarterbacks.
You see Zach Wilson going in the top 10?
I just named seven teams that need quarterback. You can say he's not going to go there, but as Belichick would say, put him on a pro board because you're not going to see him in the second round.
People are loving him.
He's got swag, got moxie.
You got to find one. You got to get one. I mean, you can say Baker Mayfield wasn't the first pick overall, but you got to get one.
I'll be excited to see where Trey Lance goes, because he was the third overall guy, and now since he didn't play this year, it feels like he's been passed by three other quarterbacks.
Combine's going to be huge for him.
If we have a combine.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. Hey, world shutting down again, dude, it feels like.
Well, hey, they're coming here for the Final Four. You'd think they could come here for the combine.
They're coming here for the entire NCAA tournament. Oh, yeah,
the entire tournament.
Well, you better get some reservations. It'd be hard to get a meal in that town.
Everything's closed, man. God, it's just sad.
It's good to be in a unicorn.
Congrats, Sticks.
All right, Thursday we'll go over all six of the games. What was that, Mike?
I said we'll hit it all Thursday. You got it.
We'll hit every single game on Thursday. We'll talk about it Friday. We'll make the picks.
Add into this, we got to do the college. We got to do the college bowl game.
We will. What do you think about the initial seven? I believe 7.5. It's at.
I worry about Alabama's defense. I loved Alabama in the first half last week, 14. I think it was 13.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere in there, I on my show on the Lombardi line, I gave that out. I loved that. I loved Notre Dame to cover, because Alabama's defense is terrible. They get backdoor covered all the time.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, Ohio State getting that many points again. I'll dabble that money line once again.
That Ohio State team looks much different than they did last year. They looked awesome.
They look much better than they did against Northwestern, too.
And Indiana, remember. Mm-hmm. Now, because Indiana gave Justin some problems, mm-hmm. and yep, Northwestern gave Justin some problems, but then in his biggest game, he fucking went out there against the most NFL-like defense, right, Venables, or a lot of people would say?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's as bad as I've seen a Brett Venables defense play.
What's that all about?
I don't know. You know, this whole thing about – I haven't read up on the stealing sign stuff, all that stuff, so I don't know what the hell's going on. That guy's a good coach, and he's a good adjuster, but he had a bad plan. He had a bad day. I think he'd be the first to admit it.
Was your tweet about successful humans having to be held back by other humans about him?
Yeah, was that him? Is that him who needs
it? I believe he has to be held back, yeah.
That needs to stop. You're a fucking adult, okay? You don't need another adult holding you back so you don't go somewhere you're not allowed to go. That needs to stop.
Oh, I thought that was Kirby you were talking about.
It could have been.
Probably was.
It was Kirby.
Any number of coaches Kirby's that have to be held back.
How does that person walk into a meeting after that and the other person just be like, oh, you're the guy that needs to have another human put on a leash on you because you can't stop yourself from going on the field? How does that not happen? And now, granted, I haven't been a head coach yet. Shout out to the Jaguars coming down here. I'm ready to run a ship. And maybe that'll happen to me, but I don't fully get it. I don't fully get that. I mean, I like your intents, but come, you're an adult. Be an adult.
Oh, hey, real quick, Mike, does Nagy and Mitch stay together tomorrow or next year?
I mean, if only in the NFL could that happen. I mean, I'm not saying Nagy should lose his job. I'm not saying that. I thought Nagy's, the last half of the season, he's done a good job of cutting down his offensive game plan, you know, running the football, making an attempt to try to manage the game differently. But what are you going to do? You going to think he's going to – you really feel good that he's going to win a big game?
Nope. They're done.
All right, and we'll talk about that team and other teams on Thursday.
Thanks, Mike. Fellas. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Mike.
See you, Mike. All right, that was the show.
Hey, Diggs, congrats on your first trip back since COVID.
Feels good. Feels good to be back.
You look good.
Let's keep the winning streak going. What are those records, Mitt? Oh.
Look at you. That's fucking massive, dude.
We got a big playoffs coming up, boys.
Tone.
You know what?
Lombardi maybe went 1-1-1.
If they sweep the playoffs, could come out 500 here.
There you go.
I think you're going to.
Could happen.
I think Lombardi's going to as well. Diggs, you might end the season with, what, 75-80 wins?
Quite possible. I mean, I'm not saying that everyone should do it, but we should think about should pick every single game.
Oh, yeah, all
six. The playoffs, yeah.
Yeah, have to, I think. At least one bet.
Hey, you don't got to tell me twice, bro.
No, we just
kind of
11-2-2 weekend in footy, though.
I mean,
that's what you need. You need to stop.
Best footy.
You need to stop fucking around with football.
No, we can't.
I understand you like football, but you should be like the fun football gambling guy. So it doesn't affect your official.
Hey, fun football gambling.
Yeah, like, hey, kind of half-ass your picks, like maybe like advising, consulting, because your overall record, if it was just footy and basketball, would be fucking unbelievable. Yep. It would be unbelievable.
Football is usually, like last year, football was very good for me. I just had a tough year.
That'll happen, Paul.
I've had a tough year as well.
You're over 500.
Yeah, crushing it.
Maybe I'm getting hot again, too.
I think you're.
I mean, the show's been hot the past 3 weeks.
You know what's nice is you know that all the teams are trying.
Yeah, and we feel like we know the teams, yeah. But every once in a while you have that Chargers versus Patriots a couple years ago. You remember that?
Yeah, I do.
Chargers supposed to win. They lost by 30.
Yeah.
Which kind of scares me.
I'm excited to see if Lamar Jackson goes 0-3 in the playoffs to start his career. All right, can't thank you enough for listening.
It's going to be a good game.
If you don't catch us on YouTube, Monday, Thursday, and Friday at 3:30, you catch us as a podcast as well. And on Twitter and Instagram, @HammerDon. And we will see you Thursday. Hammer
Don!